So we mentioned this morning Bhakti Sandarbha Anuchhed 236, which I'm going to send to Lila Manjari so she can make it available to all of you. On the topic of Sharanagati, or the Sanskrit term that Jiva Goswami uses, the same meaning, Sharanapati, there are six angas, one of them being the source of the other five. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur in 1893, that's only 123 years ago, he wrote a series of songs. He wrote four song books, and this is one of those series of songs on the principle of surrender. Very important. Obviously, it's an important topic. It's the concluding instruction of Bhagavad Gita to surrender to Krishna. So what makes up the surrender to Krishna, or how are we to do that, surrender to Krishna? What does that mean, surrender to Krishna? The application, when we say surrender to Krishna, in our case, it means surrender to the holy name of Krishna. Because the holy name of Krishna and Krishna are non-different. Just as a reminder, I'm going to say this several times because it's, maybe it'll stay with you when we have our 32 round date tomorrow. In one sense, what we're doing today is to prepare for tomorrow. Life is like that. And tomorrow is 32 round day, so absorption, and many devotees, especially our young enthusiastic devotees, they find a way to chant 64 rounds on the 32 round day. Many do that. Not that young. But 64, 32, absorption in the holy name. So if you remember, a comment from Jiva Goswami is, when one is sincere, sir, can you take the child outside? He's a nice boy. He likes to talk. Yes, Daddy. Radharaman, if this happens again, do the needful. Yeah. He's the enforcer of polite exits. So, for today anyway. Jiva Goswami said that when one sincerely, Prabhupada sometimes puts these two together, sincerely and with submission, calls upon Krishna's name. Even just the first syllable, which means attract. We attract the attention of Krishna. And the commentary on that statement by Jiva Goswami is, of course, because the name of Krishna and Krishna are non-different. So immediately Krishna becomes attracted. Maybe you know this section from the Ajamila story. Ajamila from the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, where Ajamila, born in a Brahmin family, by bad association becomes fallen and lives a life, a sinful life, very, very sinful life, without the detail. And at the end of the life, he sees the Amadutas. And seeing the Amadutas, using the vernacular, he freaks out. He becomes very scared. And he calls for his son, little tiny son, Narayana. And the commentary, this is one of the Sri Vaishnava Acharyas who comments on this section of the Bhagavatam, because for Sri Vaishnavas, along with Gaudiya Vaishnavas, calling of the holy name is very important. It's filled in the Vishnu Purana and Padma Purana, the glories of the holy name. So when Ajamila calls Narayana, Viraragava Acharya, commentator, says, Narayana considers, oh, he's called my name. I must come at once. I'm obliged to him because he's called my name. So he sends the Vishnu Dutas. Why? Because Ajamila called his name. It wasn't even intending to call the person. It was just saying the sound vibration. Unintentional. Sanketya Namabhas in Sanskrit. Unintentionally, meaning something else. Prabhupada gives the example in his conversation. Sometimes they have a something something O Rama, laundromat O Rama, or bowl O Rama, or something. They're not intending to call the name of the Supreme Lord. Bola Rama. But they're saying Rama. So they're getting spiritual benefit. Remember years ago, I don't know if it's still there, but when the Juhu Temple opened, now it's just a madhouse there. But when you walk out the front gate of the Juhu Temple, and now if you go for a japa walk, you probably get run over by a car, but you went for a japa walk going down to the left, and you keep going down and down, and there's a tree that's right in the middle of the road, so they built the road around the tree. The tree is still there. And then there was a smoke shop, and the name of the smoke shop was Krishna's Smoke Shop. It was a popular place. Krishna's Smoke Shop. But people were getting benefit by going, at least saying the name, not going there, but even unintentionally, Sanketya Namabhas, Narayana considers, oh, it's in the commentary, oh, he's called my name, I must go at once and give him protection. So he sent the Amadutas, or Vishnu Dutas. So what to speak of, now back to Jiva Goswami, if one sincerely calls the name Krishna, even before you get to the second syllable, he's there. He feels connected to you because you're connected to him. No delay. Another example Prabhupada gives is, if you turn, you're facing the sun, you see light. You turn your back to the sun, you see shadow. And there's not a third thing. So again, turn your attention to the sun. It's not after some time, then you see some light immediately. And this isn't just an energy, this is a person. Krishna is highly personal, highly loving. You turn your attention to him immediately. He is the all-attractive, and he becomes attracted by the attractive feature of sincere calling. So we're going to have a number of opportunities for kirtan, and I'm inviting you. The kirtan will be before the deity, much of it. So when you're calling the Maha Mantra, you're calling Krishna. His name is Kishore, but that's just his age. It's Krishna in his Kishore age, Kishore Rupa. or Kishore Bhav. We're calling him. In one of the japa retreats, one of the exercises that we do, there's two of them. One is in dyads, you're sitting before another person. The other person is listening very attentively to your chanting of the holy name, and they're going to critique your chanting. Think about that one. Boy, do the devotees pay attention to the quality of their chanting when someone's going to critique their chanting. Yes? And then switch. Okay, now you chant and I'll listen. So when we're calling Krishna's name, we're calling Krishna. So then there's a second exercise that goes like this. Prema Trangani does this so nicely. It's get in a meditative mood, close your eyes, and begin chanting softly, and then with the prompt is think in your mind of your favorite deity. Maybe it's your deity at home, maybe it's the deity in the temple, but you're facing the deity in your mind. And you're calling the deity. And the deity hears your calling. Now what do you feel? And the deity is reciprocating with you. What do you feel? In fact, it's like that. Now, you know, maybe in the mind imagining something like that or meditating on something like that. But it's like that. The calling of the holy name. The difference between mechanical and devotional. Or as somebody said in class the other morning, conscious sadhana. Small adjective. Conscious sadhana. You invest consciousness in the activity. You bring your attention to where your mouth is. And bring your mind goes to where your attention is, and you're investing consciousness in your relationship with Krishna. That's what this process of surrender is. That's the angi, and then there's the anga. So here's, according to Anuchade 236, he refers to this verse as from Vaishnava Tantra. These are the six. You'll find them in Chaitanya Charitamrita, just as it's written here as well. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. These first two, accepting and rejecting, like yama and niyama, kind of like that. Accepting and rejecting. Inclusive and exclusive. And inclusive of what? Inclusive of that which is favorable for bhakti, rejecting things that are unfavorable for bhakti. Then the next two. Rakshisha titi vishvaso goptritre varanam tata. Raksha means protection. So to see that Krishna is my protector, and goptritve, Krishna is my maintainer. So most of you are either students or grahastas. There's a few others. But many are working or preparing to be engaged in work. So when you're working or engaged in work, part of the reason for doing so is it maintains you. And doership consciousness, that I'm going to study very hard so I get a good grade, so I get a good job, so I have a good income, so I can maintain myself and my family nicely. So that's what I'm going to do. Then the mentality of a devotee is Krishna is my maintainer. And it doesn't mean we stay at home, lie in a hammock, and Krishna is going to maintain me. Sip lemonade and have a nice fan and Krishna will maintain me. It means I'm in the servant position, Krishna is in the results division. And he's taking care of whatever I require. Not my endeavor is taking care. Krishna is taking care and I'm serving Krishna. Consciousness behind the activity changes. the transformation of consciousness. That's part of surrender. So Goktritve Varanam, which we mentioned this morning. Krishna is my master. I am his servant. There's nothing else between us. And then Rakshishyatiti, Raksha, Krishna is my protector. Well, we know that there are four animal propensities. Anyone that's had a little acquaintance with Prabhupada's teachings knows what those four are. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Any living entity that has a body, not just human, every living entity, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Prabhupada explains, it's very, very obvious, of the four, one is stronger, and that's protecting. That is, one can be engaged in any one of the other three or combination, and immediately will stop those other three if there's danger. Protection is strongest. So for a devotee, feeling Krishna is my protector. Now Krishna is my protector. Here comes the enforcer. He's very polite, that's why I asked him. He's so gentle. But firm. Okay. Krishna, Krishna. Where was I? Do you want a jivana? Krishna's manufacturer? Krishna's a protector, okay. It's his MBA coming out. It's my bad hearing. Krishna's our protector. Yeah, we may take action or may not take action. Maharaj Ambarish didn't take action. Prahlad didn't take action. Arjuna took action. So one may or may not take action, but one should know if the action is going to be effective, it's because of Krishna. We're not lazy. Krishna's the servant and we're the master. He's supposed to protect me. No. Krishna is my protector. Just as Krishna is my maintainer. I work, and I may, if someone throws something at me, I may put my arms up. That's what arms do. They protect the body. So we may give protection. But ultimately, if it's going to be effective, it's because of Krishna's protection. Krishna is my protector. That takes away the animal propensity, even the other three, at least reducing the tendency of eating, sleeping, and mating tendency, because there's shelter in Krishna. It's one of the limbs of surrender. And then the last, Atma Nikshepa Karpanye. Atma Nikshepa Karpanye. That's full surrender. Body, mind, and words engage in the service of the Lord. Karpanya means humility. So that's six. Full self-surrender and humility. Shad Vidha, these six make up Sharanagati. So this is from Vaishnava Tantra. Scriptures tell us there are these six limbs of surrender. And the same six, I gave a 1 month seminar on this topic in Vrindavan. It was really a nice experience. And by absorbing oneself in the messages of surrender, you feel something. You feel surrendered. And you feel closer to Krishna. The songs in the Sharanagati set of songs by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there's an introductory song and then there's six divisions. He changes the order, as you see on the screen here. He starts with humility, which really makes sense, because you're not going to surrender unless there's some sense of humility. And to have the sense of humility, you have to understand the overwhelming odds against finding happiness in a place where there's no happiness. The foolishness of the false sense of independence that a conditioned soul carries that brings us into the material existence. One feels humble. So his songs characterize that in a very interesting way. So then following that humility, then let me surrender. So he goes right away to the conclusion. Full self-surrender. Atma nivedana. Body, mind, and words fully dedicated to Krishna. Certainly starting with the soul, but then the mind part of the soul, my body, my mind, my words, in the service of Krishna. Then the next two, they stay together. They're the middle two out of the six. Krishna is my maintainer. Krishna is my protector. In the orange letters, this is from the Vaishnava Tantra. Vishvas Palana, that's the Sanskrit. But he has used these other terms. Avasya Rakshibe Krishna. So that's a set of songs. And then the final two, accepting things favorable, rejecting things unfavorable. Those are the six angas or limbs or ways of Sharanagati, taking the position of surrender to Krishna. So taking the position of surrender to the holy name. We'll be chanting the holy name throughout the weekend, and the intention is to help us find the ways to take deeper surrender or shelter in the holy name, submission to the gift that the holy name wishes to give us, Krishna's shelter, Krishna's lotus feet. Krishna's lotus feet means Krishna's service in the mood of humility. Take it like that. Okay, so I'm going to turn over the slide changer to our singers. And mridanga player and so forth. This is the introductory song. And then hopefully in the time allotted, we'll cover the first two of the six. So just before she begins singing, and we're going to do an exercise at the end. We're going to do this several times. The exercise is going to be at the end of the song in some discussion. We'll pause a minute or two and have you turn to Kishore Kishori. And in 1 minute, express from your heart silently a prayer to them. Something that you've heard from this morning or specifically from this song that opens your heart to them. You're taking shelter of them, surrendering to them, appealing something, whatever you feel, whatever resonates to them. And then we'll do it again, we'll do it again, each as we go along. Go ahead.
Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jire Doya Kori Svaparshada Siya Dhamma Sahaya Vatari Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared along with his associates to give this wonderful gift in this dark age of Kali, this great fortune of shelter of Krishna.
Atyanta durlabha prema Tera pra Atyanta Dulabha Prema Kori Vaidana Shikaya Charana Gati Atyanta dulabha prema koribar dana shikhaya charanagati bhaktera pran
Mahaprabhu came to give the holy name, softly, and with the holy name, the gift of Krishna Prema, which is very, very rare to attain. So to achieve that gift, the fulfillment of that gift, he's also taught the process of surrender. So now these six limbs of surrender are going to be the next verses.
Danyatma nivedana Guptritve varana Avashya rakshive krishna Vishvasa palana Danyatma Danyatma nivedana Guptritve varana Avashya rakshive krishna Vishvasa palana Danyatma Anukula matra karira svikara janangikara janangikara Nanda Kumar Charanga Charana Gati Koi Deja Hara Charanga Charana Gati Charanga Charana Kumara
Nanda Kumar is a primary name of Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, and his primary names awaken love for Krishna, not just liberation, but they give love for Krishna. And Bhaktivinoda is saying the same as Jiva Goswami was saying, he hears and he reciprocates, he responds, he hears the call and he's there.
Rupasana sana pade dante trina kori bhakati vinoda pore duhupada dhori Rupasana sana pade dante trina kori bhakti vinoda pore duhupada dhori rupa sana sana pade dante trina kori bhakti vinoda pore duhupada dhori
With true humility, Bhaktivinoda is not considering himself qualified, although he's speaking of all this wonderful process of surrender, feeling not qualified, he places himself with straw in his teeth before Rupa and Sanatan, begging for their mercy to be successful in the process of surrender.
Kandiya, Kandiya, bole, ami to adhama, shikhaya sharanagati, karo he utama. Karo he utama Kandiya Kandiya bole ami to adhama sikhaye saranagati Karo he utama Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
is the introductory song, and very feelingly and humbly and sincerely Bhaktivinoda Thakur is calling out to Nandakumar Krishna to teach him in the ways of surrender. Hearing this song, this Kandiya Kandiya, weeping and weeping, makes me think of the message we heard from Queen Kunti's prayers. Janma Aishwarya Shruti Shribhir Eda Mana Badak Puman. As long as one has an expectation or hope for happiness in this life or the next by good birth, Janma, Aishwarya, opulence, Shruta, good education, Shri, or beauty. Then It's not possible, Queen Kunti says, to feelingly call for Krishna's shelter. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur maybe wasn't beautiful, but he had all of the other features, in one sense beautiful, but by material standards maybe, maybe not. But high birth, high education, good wealth, and for him it meant nothing. Because everything to him, Kandiya, Kandiya, very feelingly he's calling out for this one thing, just like Uddhava's saying to Krishna. Whatever there may be in terms of understanding and education and insight and wisdom, if it doesn't bring one to the position of shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, useless. There's just one thing, Krishna's lotus feet. So he wants that. Or he's teaching us the ways. He's asking Rupa and Sanatan to teach him the ways. This is our... Now, please consider. Rupa and Sanatan are many generations prior. Many generations. But he's, with strongest teeth, falling at their feet, begging for their mercy to instruct him. Now, they instruct, just as we're receiving instructions from Bhaktivinoda Thakur and several generations between us and him. But if there's the heart is oriented towards submission to the gift that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wants to give, which is nothing other than what Rupa and Sanatan wants to give, which is nothing other than what Lord Chaitanya wants to give, back to the initial verse of the song. He wants to give love of God, not just liberation or heavenly planets. He wants to give love of God, which is beyond even the dream of such places. He wants to give it. And we may say, rightly so, we're not qualified. I'd like to have it, but I'm not qualified. Then he wants to make us qualified so we can receive it. And the process, this festival of the Holy Name, is to introduce us to that process which will qualify us to receive Lord Chaitanya's gift, the fullness of Lord Chaitanya's gift. That's this process of surrender. And so, can you get ready the next song? We can show that one. You're doing it from here? You don't need the... It's picking up it remotely? Huh? No kidding. You've really gone high tech. So I don't have to give you the USB stick. Yes, I do. Don't have to. Boy, these guys. Okay. So I'll just pause for a moment. I'm going to go to the next. In the six processes of surrender, actually this Sharanagati has two parts, and we're just going to be covering part of the first part. In the first part of these six limbs of surrender. And in the first of the limbs of surrender, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has included dainya, or humility. Jiva Goswami, same root word is dinatvan, dinatvat, or having the quality of being humble, or dainya is being humble. So in these songs, in a very open and honest way, he discloses, in his own words, how he's wasted his life. And summarizes, I was born in a wealthy family, was doted on by my parents, I received so much affection, and got good education and lived my life in La La Land, basically. And I had family and da-da-da-da-da and da-da-da-da-da. And I never inquired about the purpose of life. And all these things happened, and here I am at the end of my life, and they still don't know who I am. And now I'm lamenting. I'm feeling, he's of age. He's mature age, 1893. He's a high court judge and well-respected and amongst affluent circles and highly educated circles and revered and respected, big time. I've wasted my life. Similar to what is being said by Uddhava, by gyan, by empiric study or elevation through discernment of this and that, using one's intellectual power, is useless if one doesn't come to the position of surrender at the lotus feet of Krishna. So his songs of humility, I need the slide changer. The songs of humility are like that by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There's seven, and we're going to be discussing just two of the seven. And these are kind of like favorites. And of all of his songs, the second one we're going to sing is one of my favorites out of all of his songs. Amona Durmati. It's really heavy. So this song is Amara Jivana. Here's how it begins. Amara Jivana Sada Pape Rata. My life is ever given to sin. In it, there is not a particle of good. I have caused others great anxiety and have troubled all souls. You know, the life of a saintly person is meant to be the opposite. I live a life of sinlessness, and I'm always engaged in serving others. So he's saying, there isn't anything good in me. I've only done sinful things, and I've simply given pain to others. And that's the refrain. And then you go, so commonly, you go to the next, and then you go back to the refrain, go to the next, go back to the refrain. For the sake of my own enjoyment, I have never hesitated to perform sinful acts. Devoid of all compassion, I'm concerned only with my selfish interests. Perpetually speaking lies, I become dejected upon seeing others happy, whereas the misery of others is a source of great happiness for me. It's envy. The nature of envy is the opposite of the spiritual world. Prabhupada says like this, everything that exists in the spiritual world exists in the perverted form in the material world, except this one. There's no envy in the spiritual world. There may be anger or something, greed, but in its pure state, greed is the happiness of Krishna. We're greedy for the happiness of Krishna. But envy is different. Envy, the position of a devotee is those that are more elevated, I wish to praise and serve them. Persons who are equals, I wish to make friends. Those that are less fortunate, I wish to assist them and help them and bring them up. But when envy is in the heart, to the degree that envy is in the heart, I want to bring down those that are in superior positions, so I criticize and fault find. Those that are peers, I compete and try to outdo them and, you know, win-lose. And persons that are less fortunate or less experienced or in a lesser position than me socially or whatever, I push them down. I want to step on their head like this image is showing. And when envy is in the heart, according to Bhagavad Gita, it's one of the gateways to hell. As with pride, so also with envy, whatever is good becomes destroyed. It gets misused and dismantled and becomes detrimental rather than an asset. If you have something, if you have some wealth or have some knowledge or have something, it serves against your self-interest. So he's describing himself in this mood of humility. He's looking internally, and that's what he's seeing. There are limitless material desires within the core of my heart. I am wrathful, fond of exhibiting arrogance, intoxicated by vanity, and bewildered by worldly affairs. I wear the cherished ornaments of envy and egotism. Now that's not Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but he is describing himself in that way. He's describing the consciousness of a materialist. However, because of the truth of his humility, he's feeling those things about himself, which is puzzling. Like Queen Kunti, we were just discussing the prayers of Queen Kunti, and she's also likening herself in that way, not only just unqualified, but disqualified. Yet somehow or another, although disqualified, Krishna is being kind. Krishna protects his devotee, but I don't have devotion in my heart. If I had devotion in my heart, I wouldn't conduct myself the way that I conduct myself. Evidence I don't have devotion for Krishna in my heart, but still he's kind to me anyways. She's feeling like that. Just as a parallel, third example, is something that's described by Sanatana Goswami. Most of you know who Sanatana Goswami is, brother of Rupa, one of the six Goswamis, followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Sanatana Goswami, he writes in Brihat Bhagavatamrita that a symptom, evidence that humility is in the heart, is when one is qualified to carry out some service, nonetheless, one feels not qualified to carry out that service. So when one feels that way, but you're assigned some service to do, maybe you don't do it because I don't feel qualified to do it. Or the humble person doesn't do that. The humble person calls to Krishna, please help me. Perfect example, example number four, is Prahlad. He's given a service to do by the demigods. He sees the demigods as his superiors. By age, they are. He's just a little boy. And there's the controllers of the universe. So they're my superiors, and they've asked me to do some service. So how can I say no? They're my superiors. But they were not successful in pacifying you, Lord Nrisimhadev, so how am I going to be successful? They're qualified. I'm not qualified. In fact, here's my disqualification. And he lists his disqualifications. One good thing. What's that? Krishna is very kind. Because Krishna is very kind, even I'm not qualified, because I'm doing this in the mood of service to the demigods, whatever lack of ability and qualification I have, Krishna will accept anyways, because he's very kind. That's where my trust goes. I take shelter in the fact that Krishna is very kind. He's qualified. Something similar to what Jai Jagannath was saying this morning. Krishna's qualified. Krishna is very qualified. I'm just studying, all year long I've been studying and studying and studying here and there the section of Jiva Goswami's Tattva Sandarbha that I'll be speaking about So it's like, enter deeply with every pore of my skin and within the cells of my body and within my heart, the message of Jiva Goswami. It's very, very nice. He is describing that the Srimad Bhagavatam presents the topic of Krishna. And the topic of Krishna has three parts. The relationship of all things with Krishna, and then the process of acting within that relationship with Krishna, and the goal of acting in that relationship. Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. So he says inductively, first he gives the scriptural statement, then he does it through logic, that Krishna, serving Krishna is the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. We should serve Krishna. Now, why should we serve Krishna? Like, why should we surrender to Krishna? And he gives this really nice long list. And basically, he's so servable. He's so lovable. He's so kind. Very disrespectfully, we turned our back on Krishna and walked. We didn't even say, see you later, Krishna. We just neglected Krishna. We misused our free will and went away from Krishna with the idea of becoming independently competitor to Krishna's position, our God project in this material world. It's insulting. It's disrespectful. It's every reason for Krishna to say, you know, forget you. But Krishna didn't do that. Krishna enters within the heart of such living entities, the rebellious ones. He hides himself within the heart and continues to encourage us, come back to me. Even we don't turn to him and come back to him, he still accompanies us, and according to our deserve and our desire, he reciprocates exactly as our regard for him is. He's our dearmost friend. There isn't someone closer and dearer than him. He's so worthy of taking shelter and our love and service. And so many other nice things, he says. He comes into this world and displays his all attractive form and presents his all attractive loving pastimes with his loving devotees to attract the hearts and the minds of the conditioned souls once again to the spiritual world. He sends his representatives. He gives wonderful teachings, this wonderful roadmap. You don't even need a battery. It's just, you know, a GPS that runs on its own. How to get back to Krishna? He's so kind. He's so all attractive. He's so loving. And therefore, service to him is the message of the Abhideya, the process that the Srimad Bhagavatam is inviting us to take part in. It's recommending more than any of the other beneficial dharmas. This one is paradharma. That's the message of the Bhagavatam. Engage in devotional service to Krishna, which it happens when we surrender to Krishna, and it happens when there's humility. Ruined by laziness and sleep, I resist all pious deeds. Yet, I am very enthusiastic to perform wicked acts. For the sake of worldly fame and reputation, I engage in the practice of deceitfulness. I am victimized by my own greed, being always lustful. Now, he's not a depressed man with, you know, low self-esteem. He's looking into his heart and seeing unwanted things there. A vile, wicked man such as this, rejected by godly people, is a constant offender, devoid of all good works, forever inclined towards evil. He is worn out and wasted, looks wasted, by various miseries. Now in old age, deprived of all means of relief, thus humbled and poor, Bhaktivinoda submits his tale of grief at the feet of the Supreme Lord. Emona Durmati. My life is ever given to sin. In it, there's not a particle of good. This is the, Amar Jivana. I have caused others great anxiety and have troubled all souls. So the song is very nice, but because of time, we're not going to have Sri Rupa sing this one or Shatrupa sing, whoever's going to sing. But the next one, so there's seven of such songs. Amar Jivana is a very well-known, popular amongst them song. But it's the before surrender, before the Atmaniveda, next message, next set of songs, is the taking stock of one's position in an honest and humble manner. The way that it's a consistent message. This is taking the Bhagavatam's message and distilling it into songs. In fact, it's one of the ways that Bhaktivinoda Thakur taught. In studying these, you know, Sharanagati songs, and then also another seminar I gave was the 10 essential teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Dasamula. I learned about Bhaktivinoda Thakur's way of instructing. He wrote books in Sanskrit. He wrote books in Bengali. He wrote books in English. He wrote some books in Urdu. And he wrote some songs in Bengali because Bengali village people weren't necessarily literate, but they loved to sing. And so he took the teachings and put them in songs. And then he would sing the songs, then they would learn the songs, and that way they would learn the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Very clever. So he's giving the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, the way of surrender, through these songs. And it starts with humility. Now, he's specifically in terms of the Bengali audience, because these songs are Bengali. Not that he didn't know they would be sung in future generations outside of Bengal, but the Bengalis looked to him as a hero. He, you know, highly this and that and the other thing amongst our Bengali group, high court judge considering himself like this. So who am I? If there's a sincere soul amongst them, they'll understand, what about me? So in encouraging the position of humility was for his audience as well as for us. And a little time out, I'm going to go to another song. I think I'll have you sing this one. Sri Rupa. Because of time, I'm going to have you sing Emona Durmati. So, sing it through once, I think. And it won't interrupt you.
Do we have time to go back to the refrain?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
After every verse.
Yes. Okay. It's nice. I'll have to move it, but let's try.
Prabhu hai
ki samsara bitore koriyachinu ami Samsara bhitore koriyachinu ami bhitore odia tinu ami Rakhi vara tare Rukmo vana vibra suta Dede ra prati gya Rakhi vara tare
That I had wanted to do and said we would do, I forgot to offer some prayers to Kishore Kishori. So I'll just speak a little bit on this section, then we'll invite you to turn to Kishore Kishori and open your heart to them. Then we'll have some questions and answers, and I'll just do a warm up for whatever the next session is going to be. Humility is the section, and so humility is not just at the beginning, it's throughout the process of bhakti, and something that helps each of us become more humble is association with the hearing process that cleanses the heart and allows us to see things that are in our heart that we didn't know were there before. We've all had this experience. All kinds of stuff we didn't know was there before comes when you hear nicely. And it's, yikes, look at all that. And then you do some cleansing and feel some improvement, and then with that improvement you can see more things that are there, and it's, Prabhupada said, it's like washing a lump of coal. seemingly an endless task to get the diamond that's inside the lump of coal to shine forth. But we know that there's inside the heart, there's love of God. It's just buried under so much contamination. And different degrees and different varieties. We have our own specialized contaminations. Some that are similar to others, some of that are different, and so forth. The process of taking shelter requires that self-honesty and the illumination that comes from the association of sadhus and the sound vibration of sadhus and the kindness and mercy of sadhus. And then we can see. And besides going, yikes, then what do? We need strength and courage and determination to go forward to the next step. So in this particular song, he's inwardly looking, seeing his disqualification along with the other, you know, the previous six verses reciting his disqualifications. But the good fortune is the associate of the Supreme Lord. And then specifically Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates. So again, we hear this Kandiya, Kandiya, weeping and weeping, feeling me, because the other things are no longer shelter for him. They were shelters in his life, at least externally it appeared. In his life, there were all kinds of opulences. He had tragedy when he was young also. His father died when he was young, and he had a serious illness and so forth. He met his calamities when he was young. But he persevered and shone brilliantly in his life and his career. His first wife died and married again. So he had his calamities, but he had his shelter and ultimately in hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. In his case, it wasn't until he was 36. One of our acharyas, not until he was 36 did he receive. He heard about, but he didn't have a copy of Srimad Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita. As soon as he got it in his hand, he was on the fast track. Within 1 year, he wrote a book about Srimad Bhagavatam. He read it twice and wrote a book about it, and gave a public lectures about it to his peers who were, you know, intellectual Bengalis influenced by the British, humbly persuading them to take seriously what the British had said was rubbish, mythology, no intellectual worth their salt would take any interest in this mythology. And he stood before them and said, you should take interest in it in a very wonderful way. So, wasted my life. Here I am at the fag end of my life, not qualified, praying for Lord Chaitanya's mercy to be, please bestow your associates and teach me the ways of surrender. So that's the introductory song and this first section of humility. Now he's ready for Atmanivedana, full self-surrender. He's in the fast lane again. Dedication of body, mind, and words. We know Manasa Deha Geha. We'll sing that song because everybody likes that song. Body, mind, and words. Home, you name it. It's yours. I used to think it's mine. It's yours. That means my troubles are yours too. I'm going to do some service, but I place the troubles at your feet, and not like clean up my troubles, but they're yours. I'm your servant. Please guide me how to address. Just like we were discussing with Queen Kunti's prayers. Troubles come. What do you do? You don't ignore them. You don't make Krishna become your janitor and clean up your messes. But, or misfortune that's undeserved, that may also come. But whatever the case, we just stay in the position of being the servant of the Master and he'll guide us. That's the Atma Nivedana section. So, should we take questions and then have this little prayer session, or do the prayer session and have the questions? Prayer. Okay. So, we've been hearing so far a number of things about the position of taking shelter of Krishna, as opposed to thinking ourselves falsely independent of Krishna. The way of uprooting the miseries of material existence and instead coming to the position of showers of nectar from the umbrella. It keeps away the rain but gives us showers of nectar. The lotus feet of Krishna are such an umbrella. And etc., etc., humility, self-surrender. So think of what you've heard. We'll take a few minutes. There's Kishore Kishori before the RT is finished. And offer some prayers to their Lordship from what you've heard and what you're feeling and what you've understood. Just personal. Turn and face them. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any discussion or comments or questions from anyone?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. In the previous class, you said Krishna does not give us a test that we cannot take. Sometimes if the test gets intense, then there is the period of grief and anger. How do you get over all that so that you can take the test this is trying to give you and fall at his lotus feet to surrender, like, do what you want to do with me and I am your servant?
The question you're asking is, the language is different, but it's similar to the question you asked the other evening. And the answer is the same. It starts with, I will not budge an inch from the lotus feet of Krishna. Like, kind of step back. So that step back means mode of goodness, pause. Check the tendency to be reactive. Go into the mode of goodness space and reflect on eternal reality as I am Krishna's eternal servant. And reconnect, recommit. And, you know, between you and me, Krishna, I'm feeling, you know, then you have some dialogue with Krishna. You know what I'm feeling. Here's what I'm feeling. And I know that I'm feeling those feelings because I've forgotten you. I'm in this situation first and foremost and fundamentally because I've forgotten you. I don't belong here. I belong with you. And then, not exactly, I want to be, let me out of this place, it's crazy, but please guide me so that I can be in my relationship with you. Please give me the intelligence that I can come to you and serve you in this circumstance. And stay there for a while. That may not be, they may not get a clear signal. This is what I want you to do. But you're in that relationship. So you've let go of those feelings. It's not like they just necessarily flew away like birds in a tree. And maybe they flew back and landed on the tree. But my primary attention goes to my relationship with you. I recommit and reconnect. And that's what's important. At the end of this life, that's what's important. At the end of the day, at the end of this year, the end of my life, that's what's important. That I'm closer to you. I'm feeling that connection and relationship with you. Please draw my attention to you. One of the things that I was planning to say tomorrow morning, but I'll say it now and tomorrow morning, is take shelter of the holy name means Krishna, you are my shelter. I am yours. I am your servant. And I'm distracted. Now, in this case, you know, what you described could be the distraction. In some other case, it could be, rather than anger, it could be lust, or it could be greed, or it could be something else. But whatever it is, distraction. Just, maybe it says careless, or some addiction, or something. Something I'm struggling with that's not me. Krishna, please attract me to you. I'm distracted. Please attract me to you. And make that of the six, it's the first one, the Angi. And then it enables one to select things favorable, reject things unfavorable, and the rest. Krishna, please attract me to, because that's his name, the all attractive. Tomorrow morning, the topic is the glories of the names of the Lord and the meanings of the names of the Lord, and they how to connect with the name based on the meaning of the name and the mercy of the name and the glories of the name. No, one of those slides I borrowed from tomorrow morning for this morning. That's this prayer by Rupa Goswami, the first of his Namastakam prayers. O Lord, your holy name, the tips of the toes of your holy name are worshipped by the effulgence coming from the gem-like Upanishads. So, the name is a person. So, chant the name in that manner, and so, like that. Just enter into the house of bhakti. This humility, one way of speaking of humility is it's a doorway. Now, when something is hurtful, however, you know, challenging or mean or something or something, mode of passion says, and mode of ignorance says, and mode of goodness says, Krishna, you're my protector. But I'm not going to go to that position if I'm in the, or, you know, the ignorance or passion mode. And that's my conditioning. It's not Krishna, it's my conditioning. So let me go to my relationship with Krishna. And then not necessarily the circumstance, like a magic wand becomes, you know, Wonderland or something. But how I perceive it and how I experience it and how I deal with it is altogether different depending upon the modes of nature or transcendence and shelter taking in Krishna. That's the condition of heart. So orient your heart towards the person, the supreme shelter-giving person. And you'll, you know, this, we use this word mitigation. The anarto pashamam sakshat. That's the verse. Anarto apashamam. The anartas, the disturbances in the heart are mitigated. Bhakti yogam at Hoksajay. This circumstance, whatever it is, isn't going to prevent me from becoming a lover of God. I want love of God. I want to be in my relationship with Krishna to achieve that state of love of God. That's where my attention goes. So when that attention goes, then the intelligence what to do or not to do, accept and reject, that's the intelligence discriminating factor, then the mind can go there and the senses can go there. My life becomes directed by Krishna. So back to the first part of your question. I said, Krishna will never give us a test beyond our capacity to pass the test, means Krishna is prepared to give us everything we need to pass the test. We just have to say yes to Krishna instead of turn our back to Krishna and deal with the circumstance forgetting Krishna. It's a test of our Krishna consciousness.
Maharaj, I had a clarification I wanted to ask.
Okay.
In the first song that we sang, there was a verse which meant Bhaktivinoda Thakur clasped the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami with a straw in his mouth.
Yes.
What's the significance of having a straw in one's mouth?
It's a sign of humility. There's a very famous in Gaudiya Vaishnava circles, a very famous verse written by Raghunath Das Goswami that's written up above the Krishna Balaram deity in Ter Kadamba, where Raghunath Das Goswami says the same thing, putting a straw in my teeth, I fall at the feet of Rupa Goswami, asking birth after birth to be engaged in his service. It's an expression of humility. Straw in the teeth. Sanatana Goswami did the same when he came before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and clasped his feet with straw in his teeth. So that which is fit for the floor and be trampled on, I come before you in that mood with straw in my teeth. It's an expression a gesture of abject humility. Anyone?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, I'm referring to the song where Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained about how we waste our life.
He does what?
How we waste our life, that the second song you explained.
Okay.
There was a one line is that how by our wrong choices, godly person rejected us. So there was a word rejection was mentioned, that saintly person reject us. So I was thinking, saintly person, we experiencing them, they don't reject us. They may give us space for our protection. How to understand the word rejection there?
I got about 50% of what you said. Subal, did you get the 100% of what she said?
I will try again.
Try again.
Yeah.
Excuse me, my bad hearing.
Yeah, sure. There was a line where it was mentioned that because of our wrong choices we made in life, saintly, godly person reject.
Because of wrong choices we made in our life, what happened?
Godly person or saintly person?
Godly persons rejected us.
Yeah. So
why would they do that?
Sorry?
Why would godly persons reject you because you made some wrong choices?
There was a line in that song.
But that's your question? Why would godly persons reject somebody that makes wrong choices?
I'm trying, because I'm understanding that they don't reject.
Of course not.
And they can give us space to our protection, but how to understand? There was a very strong word, rejection is mentioned, so.
I don't understand that one. They don't. You're right, they don't. Maybe it's just his mood of humility. I'm unfit to be in the company of saintly persons because of my wretched choices. Not that from their side they go, oh, this son of a gun, we don't want to have anything to do with him, he made wrong choices. Or she. It's his humility. Not get out of here. Okay. Looks like an early lunch. Actually, it's 1:00. It's time for lunch.